from PRX.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary, it's time for the podcaster that's really, I want to say thank you, whether this is your first time listening or your like 8,000th time listening, I really have a lot of gratitude. Thank you so much. And as always, I really hope and I really yearn that I can help you fall asleep. So thank you so much for tuning in to Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. And if you're a regular listener, if you're new, this isn't super important. If you're a regular listener, if you could pay attention for just the next few minutes, like either sit up in your bed or when your hand hits the fridge tomorrow, go to sleepwithmepodcast.com because this is the ways we keep the shows going. Hey, everybody, this is Scoots. We're coming up on the 10-year anniversary of making this show, 1,200 episodes, which is mind-blowing. And these are a couple listener favorites, episode 700 and 703, where we look back at, I guess, episodes 500 to 599 and 600 to 699. So first, this is like you'll be hearing these in over the next month, spread out about four episodes. And it's a look back, and we re-released episode 500, I think, which looked back between episodes 1 and 500. I know how I fit that into one episode. There's also a thank you episode that's in the free archives, ad-supported archives you could check out. So, yeah, this is pretty cool. If you want to see the show, gearing up, make the show for another 10 years, hopefully. I don't know if that's possible or not, but I'd love to have you join the show and be a part of helping us do that. Spread the word, support the show, just get in touch, use the connection contact page or you fill out the survey at sleepwithmepodcast.com/sponsors. And we're going to have a lot of exciting stuff. And also, I don't know if you've ever checked out sleepwithmepodcast.com/QQ. That's for Question Corner. It has the common questions I ask, and you can post on the latest post and let me know your question, and I'll try to answer it there at sleepwithmepodcast.com/Question Corner. Thanks, everybody. All right, but this is Scoots here. This is where I ask you to, hey, if you think about signing up for Sleep With Me Plus at sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus, with just a few questions. If you're new to the show, just ignore this message. Or if you only listen to Sleep With Me occasionally, or it could be easily replaced by another show, not important. Do you listen to Sleep With Me regularly? Yes. But yeah, does it improve your life in any way at all? And would you miss Sleep With Me if we stopped making it? Like, how much would you be willing to give on an annual basis or a monthly basis to say, hey, go ahead and start that podcast back up? So this is a way of not doing that. I'm asking if the answers to those questions are yes. Yeah, you're a regular listener. Yes, Sleep With Me improves your life. Yes, I could and would pay for the show. If it was missing from my life, I'd pay to get it back. Or if you lost it, like you'd say, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Could you help me find it? And this is a reward, whatever, $120. I need my year of Sleep With Me back. Or you would find a way to support the show if you said, well, now I got to put up a poster. If the answers are yes, we're kind of in that place right now, and the whole podcasting industry is in that place more or less, where it's like, hey, I really need you to think about supporting the show right now if the answer is yes to those questions. So we don't have to go through, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Because I don't want that. I love making the show. It does take a team of people to make the show. So think about it. sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. If you get a lot out of the show and you'd miss it and you'd say, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Sign up for sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. And I'll thank you. Believe me, I'll send you a video and say thanks. Thanks so much. All right, everybody. It's time for the Sleepy Supporter Zone, the one part of the podcast I need you to hear. It's where I pop my peas, if you please. I thank the listeners who supported the sponsors like Misha. Now, not only did Misha support Helix Sleep at helixsleep.com/sleep, Misha's going back. It was 3 years ago Misha got a Helix Midnight Lux, but they're in a position in a need for another mattress. So they said, hey, by the way, I'm taking a quiz again. They didn't tell me the situation, but hey, getting a second mattress at helixsleep.com/sleep. You know what? When you use our codes, that's how the sponsors know they're getting value from supporting the show. That's how we're able to be here for free. There's a lot of people. I love making the show, man. There's so many people that aren't in a position to do the show. There's so much good. When you do something like Misha did, or you spread the word about the podcast, you support the show on Patreon, there's so many people that benefit from that action. You would not believe it. And you would not believe how grateful they are because they say, hey, I count on that podcast just like you, but I can't support it. Hey, it's here for me on a regular basis. Maybe I'll spread the word. I love Sleep With Me, and I need it to fall asleep, or I count on it to fall asleep, or it makes me feel less alone in the deep, dark night. So when you do something like Misha did, let me know about it so I can say thank you, not just for me and the team of people that work on this show, but for all those other people, so you can really feel good about it, because you should, because we're so thankful, man. I could not be here without people like Misha, without Helix supporting the show. So thank you so much, Misha. If you support a sponsor, fill out the form, sleepwithmepodcast.com/sponsors, and let me know about it. Let them know about it. Thank you, Misha. Next part of Sleepy Supporter Zone is you getting the support you need right now. If you're having a tough time, you need extra resources, there's links in our show notes, including international resources. It's also about being a part of positive change, not just saying Black Lives Matter, not just saying stop AAPI hate, not just saying support Ukraine, but taking action and learning more and then taking action. So there's links to resources where you could do that in our show notes. You know, we're supporting hygiene kits and the Amazon wish list and financial support for the Midnight Mission in Los Angeles. You can support the Trevor Project through Orlando Park Stop fundraisers link. Those are both in our show notes. So please take some action. You'll feel great about it because you'll be a part of these communities we're all a part of. Mr. Bart, a lot of people help out on the show. Who are they?
This posty poster song
sounds like a near fall.
Wrote the theme song.
Edits episodes too.
Carl W. the Legend.
Also edits episodes.
Ashley, Kenny, Scotty, Jennifer.
Runner, 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 runner. Eric and the team at Astound are on the website.
I am the mystery bard.
I do the lullabies, yeah.
I do commissions at
JonathanMann.net.
I'll write a song for you.
Any reason at all.
You can tell me the story and
I'll make it personal.
You see the kindness shine straight on through when the listeners form their own Facebook group. Keith, Stacy, Sarah, Julie, and Jennifer. These are your narrators.
Get support, dear Scooter, on Patreon. Buy the merch and support the sponsors. You can find anything you want at sleepwithmepodcast.com.
And we're so proud that we could dance. Rusty Biscuit, Lois, Anna like banana. Leah does the transcripts.
Thanks, Mystery Bard. Don't forget, get your sleep phones, Sleep With Me branded sleep phones. Most comfortable way to listen to Sleep With Me. sleepwithmepodcast.com/sleepphones. sleepwithmepodcast.com/sleepphones. Use Sleep With Me to get $5 off your order. Thanks, everybody. Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where you could set aside whatever's keeping you awake, whether it's thoughts, feelings, physical sensations, changes in time, temperature, routine, travel, whatever's keeping you awake. I'd like to take your mind off of that. I'm going to take this safe place. I'm going to move my hand in a counterclockwise position. Oh, no, that's clockwise position. It's actually a motion. I'm smoothing this safe place down. And now I'm going to go counterclockwise, which I can see is counterclockwise, and de-ruffle. And now I'm going to go, now I'm going to do some smoothing. Oh, and now I'm going to take my thumbs and my four fingers. And I'm going to pull this safe place taut, and then I'm going to pat it and say, hey, welcome to the safe place. I want you to feel treated. I'm glad you're here. It's important you're here, but it's also not super important. I mean, I want you to feel treated with dignity and respect. But this place is, not only is it safe, I want it to be, I don't know if I can make it devoid of pleasure. Devoid's a nice word. Maybe we could come back to that devoid. It also rhymes with something from my childhood. So I'll cross my fingers on that. But I want it to be a place with low pressure, where you could say, okay, I'm relaxing here. And if you're new, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to send my voice across the deep, dark night. I'm going to use lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones and pointless meanders, extra tangents. I'm going to go off topic. I'm not going to make a lot of sense. You know, there'll be a bit of sense in here, but it is a bit goofy and senseless. So, like, just for example, structurally, if you're new, the show starts off with a few minutes of business. That's how we keep the show free and going. Then there's an intro, which is about 12 minutes of me explaining what the show is, which for some people, I say, well, that's, isn't that? And I say, well, it's part of the method. It's part of the wind down. It's part of me reminding you that I'm glad you're here and that you deserve a good night's sleep. And it's also attempted to be a little bit fun, where I can try to take the seriousness out of your day. And you could use it while you unwind at home, while you brush your teeth, when you first get in bed, or you could listen after you're comfortable. Some people fall asleep during the intro. Some people use it to unwind. Some people skip it, and some people listen to it during the day as well. So whatever works for you. There's no pressure. But again, don't put any pressure on the podcast, because it really will, it's mushy. So you say, well, I want this thing to make sense. I want to understand it. I say, well, I've been doing these, I've done whatever, 700-something episodes, and I still have not found a concise way to explain the podcast, even to people, you know, at least people I'm related to or know me. They say, well, that reminds me of you. So give it a shot, but it doesn't work for everybody. Creaky dulcet tones, they may grow on you, or for a few people, that you say, well, those are more like creaky dulcet tones make me want to, you know, whatever, just take some dones or have a little groan. I say, okay, well, give it a few tries. There's no pressure for you to like this show or to like me. Just give it a shot. I'm here to help. I'm here to be your friend. If I can be, I guess I'm in an application status to say, hey, could I be? Could you trust me? Well, you know, let's give it a shot. I mean, the onus is on me to talk pointlessly and bore you to sleep. The reason I make the show is because I've been there, unable to fall asleep, tossing and turning. Even last night after reading and not being able to keep my eyes open, and then I said, what in the heck? Why am I sensing all these things that weren't when I was reading? They weren't getting on my attention, and my eyes wouldn't stay open. But as soon as I close that book up, I say, "Hey, we need, you know, let's analyze this." So I've been there, and I believe you deserve a good night's sleep. Structure show tonight. So there'll be an intro, some business between the intro and the show. And tonight will be like part of our retrospective, because we just crossed 700 episodes. So it'll just be a look back at a little bit of the history of the show, and then the last 100 episodes, but in a real slow, meandering way. So that'll be this episode. And some people say, well, it's a little, I say, well, it's to celebrate everything the listeners have been along on this journey. It's also good bedtime story material. When I say, did I remember, what was that episode about? I remember that. Charles Dickens is the name. Scoots is telling lulling non-anecdotes about me is the game. But I was saying earlier, is like one of my goals is to make devoid of pressure. So that's another thing I want you to know. It's like, there's no pressure for you to fall asleep. I'm going to be here for an hour to keep you company and to kind of walk at your side, to talk to you across the bedroom, to be here while you fall asleep. This is more of the podcast that's here while you fall asleep than so much it puts you to sleep. It's like, I'm trying to take your mind off of stuff, to keep you company as you drift off, as you slip through my fingers. So no pressure to fall asleep, no pressure to listen either. I shouldn't be talking about anything super interesting, especially I just recorded the episode. So I say, Well, if you're interested in the history of the podcast, you could listen during the day or listen to one of the interviews I've done in other podcasts or radio shows. But it's a pretty meandering memory journey. And I think it'll help you get off. So you don't need to listen to me. Don't need to pay attention. And I don't know. I mean, I think one of the things I strive for when I make this podcast is, to try to at least evoke a spirit of not just sort of friendship or companionship or that I'm here to help and to take your mind off of stuff, but evoke a silly spirit. It could be a childlike spirit, or it could be, you know, adults goof around too. Like adults crack up and say, I can't, like you start laughing uncontrollably sometimes. So I'm not trying to get that far. I'm just trying to say, hey, wow, this is a little bit silly. This is a little bit goofy. And I was earlier talking about the word devoid, and I say, well, devoid of pressure, devoid of seriousness, and devoid of comprehensible points for some people. But then when I think about devoid, and I think about when I was a kid, I guess, yeah, I already am wrong. I thought there was one of the pizza companies that delivered pizzas. I thought they had a character named Denoid, but I think it was The Noid. But I guess you could say The Noid. Like, that's what I was thinking is, oh, that character was named Denoid. And I think it was The Noid. As my memory serves me, the Noid looked a bit like a jester that you might see in a Renaissance style jester. I may be reaching here, or like a glorified, maybe turn of the century esque in pictures of New Orleans and Mardi Gras jesters. I mean, I don't think an actual jester would say, "What? I don't look like that's not what I want to be portrayed as." But not like not negative, but not like so. The Noid was a bit like that, and I forget what the Noid like. I don't know if the Noid even before the Noid there was a with the Golden Arches had a character, the ham bungler, but it was different where he went and took hamburgers. And I don't think I think actually the Noid, if you took the real name of the ham bungler, I think that's what the Noid was. The Noid was like, what are those things called? The Noid was a bit of a pizza glitcher. I don't think he worked for the pizza company. But what they said, I think it was an attempt at a mythologizing pizza delivery. They should have come out. I mean, if I had a time machine, I'd go to their company and say, hey, have a seat. Let me tell you how this is going to work. We're going to have a children's book, and a podcast. Maybe this could be a podcast episode, The History of the Noid. But the short version is like once upon a time, there was a great invention, pizza. Then there was a greater invention, delivering it to your homesteads and castles and such. But with all great things, you know, with great power comes, you know, stuff. And they said, out of the freaking miasma, whatever came the Noids. This was just one particular Noid. It was the Noid. So I don't know if it was the most famous Noid or a representative Noid or there was only one. If there was only one, it was really busy. I guess they said, well, that's what you used to do. Now let's just put you on TV. And so I guess maybe they just said, maybe it was just one, like it was the Milwaukee Noid. And they said, well, you're the only one in existence, but we're going to pretend you exist everywhere. Sorry, I went off the mythology train part. But, you know, they said everyone in this kingdom was happy getting their pizzas delivered. Until the Noids came, and they would, at some point between when the pizza left the responsible corporate partner with only the customer's pleasure and enjoyment in mind, and the responsible delivery driver, you know, who wanted to be fairly tipped for their time, at some point in there, for most companies, there was a Noid. Is this what the Noid's backstory was? And What the Noid like to do is mess up pizza before you ate it somewhere in that process. And then everyone was frowny-faced, and they said, what did I just spend $26 on? And then came a great and shining, megacorp. They said, in shining armor, and said, well, we were the same ones that had the insulated delivery bag, and now we've taken it. We avoid the Noids. You know, we have boxes. We have things to avoid. That was their big catchphrase, avoid the Noid. And I guess if there was a poetic version of this podcast, it'd say devoid of, I don't know what it'd say, devoid of noise. I don't know. A place devoid. I guess that would be it. Sleep With Me podcast, a place devoid of sense and sensibility, and but a seriousness. And there probably is a lot more about the Noid I could go on about, but really what I wanted to summarize is that, yeah, this is a place like where the Noid, if you were getting a pizza delivered or you lived in that kingdom, you wouldn't be happy about it. And I guess I would tickle the Noid if I said, well, here's the thing, you're making a commercial about these Noids and you're taking all these precautions, you said, like double-checking the pizza before you put it in the box, confirming the order and then walking slowly to your car and putting in a flat, you know, what if I just tickle the Noid? And they say, wait a second, you mean we wouldn't have to double check our orders? Wouldn't have to drive and walk reasonably? Wouldn't have to make sure everything's on a flat surface? They say, no problem. I'll save you tons of money. I'll come to your stores and I'll tickle all the Noids in town. I'm like the Pied Piper of Noids. And then they'd say, do you have any referrals? And I said, oh, yeah, remember, if you ever heard of the Milwaukee Noid? I tickled that Milwaukee Noid pink and made it like now lives with a Nana there on the waterfront, just chilling. And she tickles it and pets it. And, you know, we're working on more. Anyway, it's a big project, but I'll tickle your Noids. Oh, boy, never mind. But I'm here to do, make something like that. It's a bit silly, like that idea. Say, well, why, what if I just tickle the Noids? This is a little bit lighter version of that, where I just try to keep you company and barely make you smile. And I would posit, if you're new, were you picturing, you say, what is this Noid? This is a pizza jester. We have those where I come from. We call them pizza jesters. And I say, yeah, this was like a trademarkable name or something. I don't know. But maybe that could be, actually, that could be a position. I would like to do that, be a pizza jester. I think when I, but so anyway, I'm here to be your sleepy pizza jester and do a little bit of jesting I don't think I have the power to make your evening devoid of seriousness, but maybe I could just lighten it a little bit. Maybe I could just make your shoulders unwind a little bit more, make that bed just a little bit, tuck you in there. Because as I said, I've been there. I appreciate you checking the show out. I appreciate you giving me your time. I work very hard on this show. It doesn't work for everybody, but give it a few tries. That's what everyone that listens says. But I really hope and I really yearn that I can help you fall asleep. So thanks again for checking the show out. And here's a couple ways we keep the show going. All right, everybody. I want to thank Claritin, tonight's sponsor, for supporting this episode and provide me with some samples. You know, I suffer from seasonal allergies. Not only do they get in the way of me living my life, they get in the way of me making this podcast to put you to sleep. Because when those allergies are really kicking in, I sound weird and I do not feel good at all. Luckily, for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. The double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. And that's what I like about Claritin D. It covers all those bases. For me, I love the relief from the runny nose and the sinus pressure. Holy cow. Those two things combined, I'm like the worst two symptoms I have at the exact same time. So I love the relief Claritin brings. And I've been taking Claritin D this spring for this allergy season, and it's been a game changer because I can go out on my runs and on my trail runs and not have to worry about, am I going to be able to record the podcast tomorrow because my nose is running and my sinuses are clogged? Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed. Thanks, everybody. Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. All right, everybody. This is our second retrospective episode, looking back at the last 600 episodes, or the last 100 episodes of the podcast. And actually, I'll be looking into the future before release, because I'm recording this in early August. But again, just like in the other one, I couldn't make the show without you. So thank you so much for all of your support, all of your listening. Let me really tuck you in bed. It really is an honor to be here and tell you bedtime stories and to help you go to sleep, or to keep you company in the deep, dark night, or to keep you company in the day when you might be under some stress. I can't tell you. I mean, maybe you can feel it, because I can feel it in my chest and in my gut and in my heart right now talking about it. I don't know. I didn't expect so maybe I'll do a little bit of a personal retrospective, a quick one of the history of the podcast, and then of the history of the last year, and then go into the last 100 episodes with maybe some personal. I don't know, but I'll keep it sleepy. Don't worry. Because we've definitely 700 episodes is pretty far from the beginning. Because when I started this show, and some of you may not know that, I had no experience in podcasting or broadcasting or being recorded or performing on the mic. And I also had no idea that this podcast would work out. I said to myself, why isn't there a bedtime story podcast for grownups? And I'd said it for years. And then the answer would come back from another childlike part of me. Well, why don't we make it? And I would say, no, that's not for, we can't do that. That would be, you know, that's too, you know, we don't have that experience. We don't know what we're doing. We couldn't make that. And that kid-like voice would come back and say, come on, let's make that podcast. I think we could make it. And if you've heard the history of the podcast before, you know, that was something that went on for years. I said, no. And he said, well, we love all these podcasts. And it was recently, it was just exchanging tweets with Brian from Coverville, which was one of the first podcasts I started listening to on a regular basis in the aughts. I don't know what aught, in 05, I don't know what year it was, but, and that was one of the shows I said, wow, you can really make a joy, podcasts are a joyful thing, and they can really be about anything. And Brian's show is about cover songs, and it still continues to this day. And he's in the podcast Hall of Fame. He's been doing it since the beginning. He's also on the Morning Stream, so I know a lot of Morning Stream shout out. Because I know a lot of, you know, we have some crossover in our audience, which is really cool. So, like, just hearing stuff like that, it encouraged my child. Brian, whatever, I don't know if Brian is an inner child. I think he probably does. But say, hey, look, he's making this fun show about cover songs. Back then, there were shows like Dawn and Drew, and Scott Sigler had these audiobook-style podcasts. Those were two other ones that my kid was like, hey, look at these shows. And sometimes, like early on, I would listen to podcasts with other people, and they wouldn't feel the same. And then there was this podcast, what was it called? WDW Today. And it was these guys, these five guys, or let's see, Len, Mike, and Matt. And then sometimes they would have another guest, talking about, in depth about Disney World theme park. And it was just so interesting to just hear these, like it was literally like I was getting to look in through a window on their lives. Even though a lot of stuff they talked about was subtextual and there'd be tension between them. It was ostensibly they're just talking about Disney theme parks, but it was like hearing it, it just felt like I was getting to inhabit, being John Malkovich in each one of them. And, I don't know, it was just another one that I said, wow, you really can make a podcast about anything and just do it. And at the time, I think the big podcast was Ricky Gervais's, a repurposing of a radio show. As a podcast or as a radio, I don't know. I never looked. I think I have looked into the history, but it was Stephen Merchant, Ricky Gervais, and Carl Pilkington. And I think that was Carl Pilkington's kind of a big debut in the world, and it's just another very funny, very different, especially from American radio. And again, my kids said, "Wow, look at all this stuff!" And there's so much other stuff that I was listening to, but those are just a few examples. And I said, no, and I kept putting that idea to bed and saying, not listening to that call. And then at some point I did listen to the call, and we'll skip over the years between them. I kind of talked about it on other shows, but, I was trying other stuff and slowly been starting to commit to living my life a little bit fuller, and it was a slow, very slow journey to do that and to take some action where I could. And there was a lot more backwards motion than forward motion, but there was still some forward motion. And then at some point, one of the things I was working on did not work out, and I remember, and I've talked about this in other places, I was on a bus during a transit strike where the trains weren't running. And so it was a very, very long bus ride with a lot of stops and a lot of people just because the trains were down and people were trying to get to work. It wasn't like a bus you would normally commute on. And this project kind of imploded with the other people I was collaborating with, and right at that point, I knew that project was done. I had time every week committed to that project, and this part of me said, hey, why don't you start that sleep podcast right now? And I said, what? Yeah, where you were working on this other project, just start to work on the sleep podcast, just put it in there. And I said, okay, and I said, just do it, because otherwise life's going to close up, and you won't get a chance to do it. I think you should do it. And I said, okay, yeah, let's do it. And so I did it, and I just started, basically. It's a non-dramatic thing. I was looking on YouTube and the internet for how to make a podcast. I borrowed some equipment, and I said, let's just start trying to make this bedtime story podcast for grownups, and let's start, from what I had learned on the internet, and from listening to people that had been making podcasts. One was, podcasts aren't a money-making thing. Two, it's very hard, especially when you have no, so I didn't have any expectation of that. And I said, it's very hard to get people to listen to podcasts, especially if you don't have an audience. So I said, okay, that's good, probably, those two things, because I don't know what I'm doing. And the consensus seemed to be that it took 3 years to get people, to build any kind of audience. So I said, okay, well, 2 to 3 years usually, but it definitely is 3 years is the consensus. But it's easier to say, okay, well, 2 to 3 years is a little more palatable. And then another consistent piece of advice, and not 100%, this is a gray area, but a stronger is if you don't have an audience, releasing something on a consistent basis will help. You know, that's better than just releasing it randomly. For me, it's like, and that worked. I said, okay, so have a deadline. And I did think about it when I was making the podcast. I said, well, people are falling asleep. And if this podcast did work and I was listening to it, I would want it on, I would want to know when it's coming out, and I would want it to be out then. And so that's something we've always kind of stuck to, is like really having a consistent schedule, even down to the time, unless there's a glitch that the episodes come out, which I think currently is 4 p.m. Pacific on Sundays and Wednesdays. And then what happened was I started making the podcast, and I started putting it out, and I was learning. And you can listen to kind of the content side and the lulling retrospective of the first 500 episodes. Because in that first 100, 150 episodes was really where the current state of the podcast was born, from all the experimentation, not so much in the content of the content, but in the creation of it, and saying what works, what's sustainable for the creation standpoint. And at some point in there, probably pretty early on, I was settled on a 3-time-a-week schedule, because I said, well, if I was listening to podcasts again, I would want it 5 nights a week if I relied on it to fall asleep. And I said, well, that's not that's impossible. And he said, if I push really, really, put a lot of work in, I can do it 3 times a week. And also there's a part of me in my mind that said, well, if it's at 3 times a week, yeah, maybe that'll be good for the audience. Then I said, okay, can I do that for 2 years? And that became my goal. That was my goal pretty early on, was like, can I make this podcast? Well, first it was like with the goal of making it for 2 years, but having points in between to be like, can I make 2 episodes? Can I make 8 episodes? Can I make 20 episodes? Can I make 50 episodes? And I think when I got to 50, I was like, I'm definitely making this for 2 years. And that was like a bit of a, like, not having a little bit more, I think I may be overcommitted, so that was tough, because between 50 and, there was 250 episodes between episode 50 and 2 years, but I kept at it for 2 years, and at the end of 2 years, I said to myself, well, should we keep making this podcast? Yes, but, is this sustainable? And the answer was no. It was just, the podcast is like making a podcast like this is the equivalent of like at least a 2 or 3 person team. If each person's working like a normal work schedule of like 40 hours a week. And I was also working a job this whole time to pay my bills and keep the, you know, and pay the bills of the podcast, which at the time were smaller because the podcast was smaller. But at the end of 2 years, I said, okay, well, we have an audience. And I think at the time, maybe at the end of 2 years, there was like 10,000 regular listeners, which is really, I was really grateful for that. And that was a really something that said, okay, this podcast does have potential. And so then I forget if I committed for another year or 2 years. I think I said, can I make this sustainable in a year? Like, otherwise I'll have to stop. I think that's what I decided. Maybe I said 2 more years to make it sustainable. I can't remember, but I said, okay, like, let's see if we could get it to a number of listeners where it's sustainable, like where it could sustain itself, which is at the time, I think this was more not prevailing logic or consensus, but more just internet opinion was like, oh, if you have 30 or 40,000 regular listeners, you could definitely pay for 1 or 2 full-time positions. And I did find out that for my podcast, that wasn't true because it puts people to sleep. So it makes it, it adds this extra hurdle of trying to pay the bills when people are asleep. But so I think I said by 3 years, if I be around that number, then maybe it'll be like, then I can find a way to sustain it. And I think, I'm not sure, but my memory is not perfect, but I think around 3 years, we're right around that number, like 30, 40,000 regular listeners. But in there, I don't know if when in 3 years, we didn't really have any money. We didn't have any money coming in. We had a tiny bit of Amazon money coming in, mostly I'm still subsidizing. Well, no, mostly I'm subsidizing the podcast with my free labor. And then all, you know, any money I would spend, would have spent on myself or like my leisure money. Like it was like a expensive hobby or something like that. And at the end of 3 years, I think this was 3 years, but maybe this was 2 years. I don't know. I said, I don't think I can keep doing this. Like, it's just no, like, it's easy to do something like this for 2 or 3 years. So maybe I'm getting 2 or 3 years mixed up. But I said, I need help. I can't keep putting this episode show out 3 times a week. It's just not achievable. And so I was like, okay, well, what can I do to get help? And I think we tested some sponsors in there at some point, and that didn't really take hold as a reliable source of money. And then at some point, we started the Patreon, and I said, okay, if I could bring in enough money to pay someone to do the first edit of the show, the editing, like, after it's recorded, editing the episode, so it's pretty much ready to go. I mean, I would listen and you know, make any changes. Like I said, maybe if I could get help and I could build a Patreon to pay for help with one episode a week and then 2 episodes a week with the goal of getting to 3 episodes a week, I said I think I could keep going. And actually, like, before the Patreon started, I started paying out of my pocket. I said, well, I found someone, Chris Posterson. I had heard his podcast. He had done the theme music for the show. I knew he was talented and capable. And so I think this was, yeah, like, I don't know if this is a 2-year point or the 3-year point, right around then. I think it was November or October. So that was right when we started the show. But I don't know if it was after 2 years or 3 years that Chris started working for the show. And I started paying him. And I also have a philosophy. When you work on something for free, you realize that that's kind of like sets this not great precedent. And you realize, like, how much, like, work goes into the show. And there's a lot, the spectrum of audio editors is, of pay, is pretty wide. And I knew Chris's talent, and so we agreed on, like, what I think, I mean, I would love to pay him a lot more money, but it was like he said, well, if I was doing this, how much would I want to get paid an hour? Or per episode. So we found a price that I was comfortable with and Chris was comfortable with and that I felt was reasonable by the quality of work and livable. I mean, only as a side gig because it's not like this is the editing is not a 40-hour week work. And so I kind of built the Patreon around that. And then I started the Patreon. But I still had in the back of my mind that at some point we'll have like all the rest of our bills like would be paid before by sponsors, just because that's like a lot of the podcast advice out there. And so a lot of my budgeting and stuff was like, okay, well, when we have sponsors, regular sponsors, that's how I'll be able to pay myself and I'll be able to like pay some of the other bills. And the Patreon will be like a supplement or you know, the Patreon will be like the sponsor will be our A option and the Patreon will be our B option for funding. And then we had like CD, like affiliate, like sleeve phones and what else do we have? Like affiliate, like Amazon, stuff like that is other small, very small, but still any money helps funding options. And again, this isn't all, I'm winging this, so there's definitely some probably holes in some of this stuff. But then I started the Patreon, and I guess like when you start, you do something for free, and some listeners told me this, it's like, isn't this podcast, it's very valuable, but sometimes your esteem gets mixed in with it, and it's not always the most positive version of your esteem. And I started to think, well, maybe I'll just ask for listeners for a dollar. Like if I could have got 10% of the listeners at a dollar of the show, I said, I mean, I guess part of me still always blown away this, but I said, well, how hard would that be? It should be easy for Sleep With Me. Even though the prevailing logic was only 0.5 to 2% and 2% is like really nearly unachievable of your listeners will support you on like a platform like Patreon will pay for something free. But I was a little, I think I was more delusional. Like, I mean, I have a good relationship with the audience, so it's a little delusional of like what was possible. But I was also scared of just asking for more money than a dollar. And so I asked for a dollar, and I thought we could get 10% and then maybe 1 or 2%, not a dollar. And that was actually like a big error. Because one, we weren't able to achieve, even come close to that 10% number. And it kind of let a lot of our initial patrons know, oh, well, like a dollar's all Scoots wants or needs, because that's what he's asking for, which was totally reasonable conclusion on their part. And so a lot of the initial people that became patrons were dollar patrons, which is like usually your core you get in the first 3 or 4 months of your Patreon. And but then a couple listeners, particularly Julie C., one of the moderators, said, you know, this is like, I don't think this is okay. Like, the podcast isn't just worth a dollar to me, and it shouldn't be worth a dollar to you if you're working 90 hours a week and a day job to pay for that. Like, isn't it worth, you know, are you sure you're not just you're devaluing the podcast? And I said, you're right, I am. And so then at some point we changed to focus. And also, like other realists said, you can't get 10%. And the numbers were clear that it was like we'd never get to 10% of support. Not even, it was just almost like it's a mathematical impossibility. And so that was a little bit tough. But we said, okay, well, let's just go back. We'll keep doing this and we'll see how it goes. And we'll take it one step at a time. And this was somewhere in, yeah, between years 2 and 4, which all kind of becomes mashed together. And I said, okay, now over years 2 and 4, we'll try to make this sustainable. Because at the end of year 4 or end of year 3 or end of both years, I was like, okay, if this isn't sustainable, I have to stop or cut back. I guess it was at the end of year 3. And at the end of year 3, it wasn't sustainable. I guess it was the end of year 3, right? But it was getting there. And I said, oh, it's just a matter of getting the sponsors. We had Patreon support of maybe 1% or maybe somewhere in 1% of the listeners. And while we had like a lot of dollar patrons, because the initial sign, the way I conducted it, it was still good signs. And then we had on and off sponsors. And I was like, well, sooner or later, we're going to get like, we got Casper. You know, and Sleep Phones is an affiliate sponsor, which is a little bit different, but it was like, okay, sooner or later, this is all going to work because I know it's working. It's putting people to sleep. I'm consistent, but it was still a lot of work. And then again, I got a point where I was like, I can't keep doing this. Like, it's just not sustainable for me. And I started working with my job and my vacation that I'd let build up and trying to work flex schedule. And trying to cut back at work when I could, and then like trying to be like, okay, what can I do some of this part time or some of this from home? Yeah, but it was clear like that wasn't sustainable either. It was like, okay, I need, like I was like, it was approaching a place where I had to make a leap of faith, but one with my my daughter in mind, in reality in mind. And it wasn't like I knew emotionally I like had listener support, and there's a hardcore group of listeners that are supporting the show. But I said, well, still like a leap of faith. Like, and I'm a person that overthinks and is, you know, anxious and stuff. But at some point I took that jump I guess that was last year, but I said, okay, again, if I'm taking this jump, this show has to, like, now it has to be sustainable because I'm leaving my career, which I had a pension and stuff. So it was like my main, it was like, oh, that was what I was planning my future around. Yeah, but I also over the years had attained a lot of skills. So I said, okay, well, I know I can produce and make podcasts. So I could always do something else in the podcast business. Not a big deal. And then towards the last year, I guess that was 4 years. So I said, listen, I was honest with myself and the audience. I said, okay, I have to start looking at what's sustainable, like what is paying the bills and what is not paying the bills. And so that was like, at first we tried to get funding to make sure to cover the cost of Sleep to Strange, and we weren't able to do that. And so we stopped putting out Sleep to Strange as far as a free show. Then it was like, okay, should we keep really, it takes a lot of work to put the show out three times a week. And it limited my ability to try to pursue other opportunities to keep the, to make the podcast sustainable, which was, so I said, okay, can we, is it realistic to keep the show three episodes a week with the number of sponsors and patrons we have? And at the end of the year, it was like, no, it's just not, it's just like not sustainable for me as a creator, or looking at the numbers. It's just like, okay, we got to cut to two a week. And that was a really good decision because it enabled me a little bit more space to interact with the audience, to interact with the podcast community and connect with other podcast people that are creating podcasts. And it was also like right around the time I left my job. So all this happened in the winter, like the end of 2017. And so like I left my job, tried to focus. We had some other shakeups in there too. But actually it wasn't like, because of the Patreon was still in a place where it's like, okay, I still need to get this going and I still need to get more sponsors. It was like, I guess in some sense I had made that leap. And so it's like, okay, well, I'm committed to this podcast now and committed to find making it sustainable. And I said, okay, well, I do have all these tangible skills, so I don't need to worry. And because I was connected to more people creating podcasts, the people at Night Vale Presents, people at PRX and Radiotopia, and just a lot of my independent friends creating podcasts, it was like I was able to get some, you know, better advice and say, okay, well, I think this is, like, I think we're going to be okay. To be like, okay, let's 2018, let's just see how it goes again. And I guess like, when you're listening to this, it might be further along. We still are in a, like, see how it goes kind of state. Things change faster now, a little bit faster. So it's like, okay, I think by the end of 2018, we'll be able to keep making two episodes a week, free episodes. And I'm pretty confident we are, but we keep assessing things and saying, okay. The people that support the show, it's been amazing. And I think it's not an issue of people that don't want to support the show. It's just an issue of people falling asleep very fast, which is like, so podcast has kind of been a victim of its own effectiveness and success. And it's just like an overall apathy, like in general, like to say, well, if it's free, you know, it's just a strange thing to pay for something that's free, or to not passively, we're kind of also taught to like passively consume advertising instead of be like, oh, Casper and Brooklyn and Sleep Phones are part of what they keep the show going. So it's just like, and then when you're already sleeping in bed, the people are also great about word of mouth, so the show's been able to grow in that way. And I just learned so much about myself, about that people are there to support you, listeners and other podcasters and friends and family, and that you can take these leaps, and it's okay to have doubt and to be a little nervous or AFRAID. Because it isn't outside of your comfort zone. It is outside your comfort zone, but it says, okay, it's not an all or nothing thing either. You'll be able to find your way. And I can parent myself and say, you know, I'm here to take care of you. It's okay to be afraid. Let me pat your back. We're going to do the best decision we can. And we made a good decision. We have a podcast with about 150,000 regular listeners. Maybe at the time you're listening more, and people that really are invested in the show, and people that support you, people that benefit from the podcast, people that interact with you, that shower you with kindness. And there's a lot of people that believe in you in the show. So it's going to be okay. You're going to be okay. And let's just take it one step at a time. I mean, that's kind of where things are. Like, I think I have trust that it's like, okay, things are going to keep growing. We're going to add some more sponsors. We're going to get our archives back up, and we're going to keep the show at 2 episodes a week. That's what I'm working for here towards the end of 2018. I guess this is my goal, is to get the archives back up, make sure they're sustainable, and make sure the show, the free show, is sustainable twice a week. I'm pretty confident we'll get there, because we got a lot of great support, and I want to thank you for that. But yeah, I guess I've gone off, so let's run through. Yeah, okay, so here we are. Let's run through 600 and to now. So 600 was 7 stages of banter, which, again, I can't believe that was 100 episodes ago, but that was a fun episode. Another Board Win seminar episode. Statue Love, that was another After Glass Slipper episode I enjoyed. Little One and Mother, that was with Troy's mom and Picard on Star Trek The Next Generation. Fearless Flyer review in October, that's funny. Maybe that was our last Fearless Flyer review, I don't know, but that was a good one. No, I think we did one with Pumpkin Pie Spice. Pop Quiz, After the Glass Slipper, Yesterday's Enterprise, TNG, Hamlet with Brainbots, that was October 24th, holy mackerel. That was like about me procrastinating going to see Hamlet and then being happy I did. Castles in Compromise, that was another After the Glass Slipper episode, that was good. Fistful of Datas, so we're getting towards the end of, oh, we're getting ready for the launch of this new Star Trek Discovery series. And then 609 Costume Nostalgia, that came out on Halloween. I know that was a popular episode, a fun look at, nostalgia for Halloween costumes. Quilting Clues, that was another After the Glass Slipper one. Context, and then we did Star Trek Discovery, but I think, I enjoyed the show. It was just a matter of a combination of the paywall just that Star Trek was just having trouble with a large number of listeners not listening to the Star Trek episodes. So I think those two things, I liked just Discovery, but I didn't love it so much that I said, okay. Then Talking Bog, that was another On Location episode where I talked to a bog. Don't Look Back, that was with Talking Bog, was with, who was it with? Viola, maybe? I can't remember. Don't Look Back, that was a cool After Glass Slipper episode. Then another Discovery episode when doves and lambs fly together. Then a healing kind of personal fictional journey, Clouds Heal. That was because I kept failing quizzes for Clouds in 4th or 5th grade. Teaching Valuations, that was towards the end of that was the last episode of After Glass Slipper. I think it was. And Choose Your Pun, that was another Star Trek Discovery episode. I think that was the last one we did. Plus, it was up against the holiday season. Apple at My Core, that was a fun one because it was a look at apples, which I love, and apple picking, and even an apple coaster, I think. Then we did a tale of the tape for the movie Home Alone. Then I did an episode about snow sledding. A little trip, immersive trip of snow sledding. Then as the North Pole turns, that was just a holiday series, a short holiday series, soap opera at the North Pole. Then we did Tale of the Tape for the movie Scrooged, which was, again, a fun one. And then Stormy Sheep, which is another as the North Pole turns episode. Then we had our first Doctor Who episode with a visit from Charles Dickens, just because it was a holiday season. Then a Macy's Parade recap, Happy Pucks. Still, that was the best parade ever, just because of this guy. He was dressed as a puck. I think there's two of them, and they were dancing, and they were so happy. I still can see it. Then a Macy's, then As the North Pole Turns, another episode, Melorama. then National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation tale, the tape. Then the two characters from other holiday episodes, Elf Nobody Knew and the Christmas Tree That Took a Walk, went on a walk together. Then the just finale of As the North Pole Turns, North Pole Coco Square Dance. Then we had Peeping Leaves, which was a leaf episode, where I talked about leaf peeping. Then an on-location episode from Stowe Lake. And this is when we moved to the twice-a-week schedule here. Then we started doing regular Doctor Who Season 1. And that first episode was Rose. Then we interviewed Jenny, the new username generator. That's another creative high point for the podcast. I can't believe it was all the way in January. Then we had Lentils and Plastic Toys, which was a look back at both After Glass Slipper and, I think that's what it was, and let's see, Jenny, the username generator. Yeah, and As the North Pole Turns, I think. I Feel Fine, another Doctor Who episode. Pitching Curry and Moranis episode, I pitched them in a Hall & Oates musical. Still haven't heard anything from anybody about that. Then we kicked off our new series with Fairy Tale River Ride. That was a theme park series that never got a name, but it was about a young woman in a theme park. Then Friends in London, another Doctor Who episode. Then Food Pilgrimager, which was another, what is that called? Fearless Flyer episode. It was called Food Pilgrimager. Then another ride episode, Dark Side of the Pretzel, from the theme park series. Doctor Who won once, twice, thrice a doctor. Another good creative episode, Weathered Weather Vane. Another one I was happy with how it came out. I wanted to do a story about a weathered weather vane. And it, again, took some turns I didn't expect. Gliding Over Comfort. That was, I don't know if you've been on that ride, Soarin', but that was what it was about. Then Comic Dalek. I didn't even realize that kind of rhymed. Comic Dalek. Maybe I did at the time. Then a Carole King episode where I went on an adventure with a label maker. Then theme park ride, theme park with Oceans. Then 648 was a long game. That was another Doctor Who episode. 649 was another interview episode with Matter Matters. It was a TV show, Matter Matters, I think. Episode 650 was Curly Sue Rush, which is based on, what's that ride called? Or influenced by Big Thunder Mountain. Father's Day, that was a Doctor Who episode. Real-time recipe, both my Instapot, real recipe under pressure in real time. Then Panda Force, which was kind of influenced by the Indiana Jones ride in Disneyland. Let's see, Empty Snore Child, that was a Sleeping with Doctor Who episode. Then we had a Fairy Tale Gloom Game unboxing, where I unboxed the game Fairy Tale Gloom. Then we had a theme park episode, Conservatory Reading, which is kind of influenced by The Land. Then Fan of a Fan, which was kind of an episode about fandom, and particularly that I'm a fan of my fan. Then we had Doctor Dances, another Doctor Who episode. Episode Rom-Con-Con, which was had a little bit of Tingler in there. I wrote Romanflits. It was about me starting a romance convention and then going to a romance convention where I didn't have books. I had Romanflits, romantic pamphlets. Toy Town, that was about, what's that, Happy Little World, what's it called, A World of Journey, I don't know what that ride's called, where all the kids sing, The Small World, yeah, that's a Small World, thanks, Brain. Then Boomtown, another Doctor Who episode, that, really getting close to the end of that season. Central Park Regret came out in April. That was, I still say Paul Simon should make a song about that. That was kind of a fiction reality melded. Heart of a Candy Band, that was a theme park ride episode. Bad Wolf, that was a great Doctor Who episode, one I really enjoyed. 665 was Friends of Mario and Sonic, where I said, who are all these people that hang out with Mario and Sonic? I was like, what the heck? Let's look it up. 666 was Jungle River Journey. I thought 666 was going to be a Doctor Who episode, but ended up being Jungle River Journey, a theme park episode. 667, Parting of the Ways. That was the last Doctor Who episode. 668 was Skywriter, where I met a Skywriter. I tried to save Skywriting successfully, by the way. But it was fictional, but I successfully saved Skywriting. 669 was the finale of the theme park series, Caretaker's Carousel, which part of it took place in the Carousel of Progress. 670 was The Good Place, episodes 1 and 2. A Good Place to Sleep, based on the TV show The Good Place. And that was kind of like a surprise. I said, okay, I don't know. I just love the show so much. I said, we're going to do this. Belle Biv DeBib, that was for Memorial Day, and that's all intros episode. Then we had the Alice Isn't at Brunch, the Alice Isn't at the Big Farm crossover, with a great podcast from Joseph Fink. Yeah, so that was a fun crossover. Then a review of the theme park series, a little run-through. Then episode about Tahani and Jason, Good Place episode 3 and 4. Yeah, 3 and 4. Then a comparison of the Pirates of the Caribbean rides with Ray, my neighbor. That was a good episode, I think. Ray kind of said the Disneyland and the Disney World Pirates of the Caribbean rides are very different, or not very different, but, and Ray wanted to come on and explain to people all the differences. Then another new series that we're still in progress right now, Stan Chronicles Episode 1, Nuns in Space. Stan returns, Stan and Scooter. Then the Good Place to Sleep episodes 5 and 6. Then the Lemonade Experience, another kind of different episode where it was just about sipping lemonade on a porch and idealizing that. Then the Stan Chronicles 2, where Stan's on the artist journey, working his way through that. Then 680 was the Good Place to Sleep episodes 7 and 8. Then the Bernie the Butterfly tote bag episode, where Bernie the Butterfly comes out and talks about tote bags, 681. 682 is the 4th of July, so we did an all intros episode, More Pillows Than a Fancy Hotel. 683 was Smelling Space, with Nuns in Space episode 3. Then we covered Good Place episodes 9 and 10. 685 was Cloud Tower, which was kind of like an air traffic control tower in the clouds. And also kind of meant to be soothing if you're flying, you know, if you're in the air, you know, you're in a tube, you know, thing. Yeah, for people that don't like that. Then Letter to a Younger Soda Machine Self, that was what, Stan 5, 2, 3, 2, 3. Maybe 4? I don't know. Yeah, I guess 4. Then A Good Place to Sleep, episodes 11 and 12. Then another Carole King episode, Mothership Connection, with a little bit of Funkadelic in there. Then a 99 PI crossover, or tribute, more of a tribute to Roman Mars and 99% Invisible, where... and would mash up too with pitching Moranis and Curry. It was pitching Roman Mars, Rick Moranis, and Tim Curry in a movie. It was like a lot of layers in there. And when I record this, last episode release was 691 Prom Free, Stan Chronicles episode 5, which was about a, you know, prom that you didn't, it was a no-date prom, so a kind of dream prom. So that's all that's released. So let me see off the top of my head if I can figure out what's coming next without looking. 691 is a good place to sleep, episode 13, because I was just listening and editing that one. So that would be 692 would be a visit to the New York State Fair, a little history of the New York State Fair. 691, 692. 693 would be Stan, part 6. Just listen to that one too, but I don't want to, you know, spoil him. 694 will be a Troy, Star Trek The Next Generation episode with Troy is the main, not, she's the lead, she's in command of the ship. I had to change the title of the episode to Troy. I can't remember what I named it, but because the name of the episode's not very sleepy. 695 should be a it should be State Fair, another visit to New York State Fair. It'll be interesting. I guess you're hearing this after this all come out with more details about the New York State Fair and memories. 696 would be Stan Chronicles episode 7, which progressively gets more and more interesting and more sleepy. What is that, 696 or 697? I don't know. 690, well, my finger says 7. So 697 would be Star Trek The Next Generation. And I don't know the order of the release. Let's see. There's Allegiance is one of them. So let's just say, I don't know if it is that. That's the next one. But that's one of the ones coming out is Allegiance. I think maybe that's it. And it's about Picard. There's two Picards at one time in the episode, including one that's ready to date. So that's a good one. So that's 7. 98 is... is that 98? So 7 would be 98. I think it's going to be a Tingler crossover. So anybody that's a Chuck Tingle fan will have the lulling. Like it should be on Chuck's podcast, the Pounded podcast is for grownups only. Will be a grownup version, and then there'll be a Sleep With Me version. But all about being okay. So it should be 698. So that would make 699, Stan 8. Yeah, that looks right. And then 700 would be, I think is the schedule. There's like somewhere in there is a Labor Day. So one of there's somewhere in there is going to be all intro episode. Then somewhere in there would be, like, let me just try to figure out the next Star Trek one, because I can't remember, so it'd be at least entertaining. Like, the Star Trek episode after that would be the first duty, with Wesley, but in between those, we did Allegiance, because I record stuff so far ahead of time, like, I probably recorded this, last week, it was so long ago. I did Allegiance, I just recorded, the first duty this week. So what was the other one? I honestly don't know. Then there'll be those retrospective episodes and the rest of the Nuns in Space episodes. And then also we'll be doing Good Place season premiere being there. So that's like what we have on tap. I wish I could remember that other Star Trek one. Like, who was the main character? Was it... there's one, another one with... Oh, no, that one's after the Wesley episode. There's like Moriarty one, but that's after it. Okay, you know what? I just remembered it. It was it's one about it's called Brothers, I think. It's about Data and Data's brother. That might even be before the Wesley. Yeah, it is before the Wesley one. So it's about Data and Lore, and then two other the B stories. Very short, but it's about two brothers on aboard the ship. And I really feel a sense of familyhood with all of you listeners. So thank you so much for being with me on this journey and supporting me on this journey and believing in me, because I believe you deserve a good night's sleep. That's why I make the show. I say it a lot, but I've been there. So thanks for the help keeping the show going. or, you know, thank you for just being rested and sleep and then putting energy, positive energy out in the world. Thanks and good night. All right, I want to thank Anya for the support on Venmo. Thanks and good night. And I want to thank on Patreon, our new patrons, Larissa, Lorraine, and Chris. Thank you, thanks, and good night. Trish, Nancy, and Jan, thanks, and good night. Jordan, Morgan, and Carter, thanks, and good night. Elizabeth, Sarah, and Stacy, thanks, and good night. Jill, James, and Lauren, thanks, and good night. Kat, Natasha, and Eric, thanks, and good night. Ann, Caleb, and Chris, thanks, and good night. Laura, Tim, and Alexa, I had to say that in a strange way so the speakers didn't. Thanks, and good night. Joshua, Lily, and Melody, thanks, and good night. TJ, Yeki, and Kimberly, thanks, and good night. Mickey, Jim, and Annie, thanks, and good night. Mary, Maureen, and Hannah, thanks, and good night. Lisa, Anne, Marie, and Jackie, thanks, and good night. Hannah, Seth, and Christy, thanks, and good night. D, Matthew, and Wayne, thanks, and good night. Julie, Sarah, and Tristan, thanks, and good night. Megan, Andrew, and Mark, thanks, and good night. Emily, Matthew, and Kyle, thanks, and good night. Brittany, Sarah, and Friday, thanks, and good night. Jan, Purple, and Daniel, thanks, and good night. And Karen, Janine, and Anthony, thanks, and good night. Thank you so much, everybody that supports the show on Patreon, the monthly supporters. Thanks, everybody that supports the show in other means, in other ways. If you want to subscribe and support the show on a monthly basis, it's by far the number one way we keep the show going. SleepInMePodcast.com/patron. Thank you all so much, and good night. All right, everybody, this is Scooter. This is Weeks in Review. And this is where I run through my Weeks in Review stuff. What was on Sleep With Me Plus in the past month, and what you can expect to see on in the public feed too. Now I have if you sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, or you're already signed up for Sleep With Me Plus, I highly recommend using a podcast app that allows search within the feeds, but using just one podcast app for Sleep With Me Plus content only, and then keeping your other podcasts, your daytime podcasts, in whatever app you use now. And I would just check out a couple podcast apps you could choose from on Apple are Overcasts, iCatcher, Pocket Casts, and on Android you could try out Pocket Casts or Podcast Addict. For this example, I have the only thing I have in my app is I think this is the 10 to I think this is the Boyfriends level. I have four podcasts, the ad free full episodes, the story only episodes. Nothing in Sleep With Me Plus has ads except for the really old episodes in the archives. We got the story only versions of the show, the all intro, all night versions of the show, and then the bonus episodes. So let's start with the bonus episodes, actually. So Saturday, a new Posty episode came out. It was one that Russell loved, and that came out, and that's in the bonus feed. You know, some people like listening to the Posty Super Deluxe episodes during the day. Some people sleep to them. And, yeah, so that one is in the bonus feed. And then looks like we got a bonus coming out for Boar Besties and Boar Friends on Thursday of this week, which is April 15th when I'm recording this. And then we have another Posty Super Deluxe came out a couple weeks ago. That was a picnic lunch with Scooter. And that's in the bonus feed. And that makes just so much easier for those of you that don't, like, automate your playlist or anything, just to kind of build and choose how you want to listen. That's popping the all-intro, all-night episodes. I know an all intro episode is coming out this Thursday. Last Thursday was Make Great Pets Season 1 Part 2, almost 6 hours. It's about the max length we can get and have a good file size. So that was like 7 episodes of Make Great Pets. April 3rd, all intro episode came out. And then we had March is that bonus episode. So there was another all intro episode. So that's in the all intro all night feed. And again, like so much easier, like these all intros. Is that what everything that's in there? 277 episodes split between all. So if you love all intros, I bet 200 of those are all intros, maybe even more. And then in the store, both in the story only episode feed and then in the all ad free feed, let's run through the new episodes. Bring It On week started last week. So we had 12:54 was our first watch along where I watched half of the movie Bring It On. Wednesday was 12:53, Ben Broughton, the Crayon Rambler. That was one of those episodes that had an intro that I said I should make an episode based on this intro. Went to make an episode based on the intro, and it went in an even another direction of what if there was an RPG game based on the movie Bring It On, which led me to figure out I never watched Bring It On. Let me learn more. Then I ended up watching Bring It On. Then April 7th was Alba Sabalik's, like, we're getting ready, big announcement. If I haven't made it anywhere, we're going to do 3 seasons of a crossover with Alba Sabalik. So that's cool. So that's something we're looking forward to doing. And that was episode one of that. Or that was the one we did originally. Then 12:52 was the finale of the Great British Bake Off, and episode 10. Then Multiplex 5, Tiki Transistor Hut, that was a good one. 12:50, one of my favorite episodes probably in the past few years, a Willy Wonka tour that came out of like some news articles about the experience. And I said, this has got to be an episode. And that will be a series. I mean, like a recurring thing. Then Great British Bake Off, episode 9, Patissier. Then Multiplex, episode 4. And then we're back to our last audio news. So it's everything. Again, if you ever need support, support@supercast.com is there to help you. Though if you're listening to this episode, I'm assuming you're not like, you don't need support, but if you do. And the other thing is like, yeah, this is my main way to communicate. I learned this on Patreon. Most people just don't read their emails from Supercast or from me. And most people aren't on our Discord or follow our social media. And so these messages are how the majority of supporters get their information. I do it in a sleepy voice because there's like, I put it in at the end of the free show too. But this is a kind of key way, but these episodes are easy to skip, especially if you're just using one podcast app, right? And building your playlists. From that podcast app. So yeah, thanks everybody for supporting the show. Reach out if you have any feedback at sleepingmepodcast.com. If you need support at supercast.com. And good night.